Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing grab bags, so James picked the movie Big Trouble in Little China, made in 1986. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So I'll give what the synopsis of this movie, since I actually find this synopsis funny. It's another IMDb classic. An all-American trucker gets dragged into a centuries-old mystical battle in Chinatown.
For a little over $1,000.
Yeah, 1,142, I think it was.
No, 148.
It was double that, remember?
Yeah, but it was double it.
Well, but so. He already had the first half on him.
Yeah. I love that one scene in the beginning where he tried to chop the bottle. It's like, boom, it's all in the reflexes.
I do like the fact that he's like, oh, I'm all twisted up over here. That's why it didn't chop.
Yeah, it's like the same line Gina Davis gave in A League of Their Own when she got the ball.
They should have actually had him chop the bottle at the end.
That would have been awesome. Oh, but, saber it like they do in fancy restaurants.
Yeah. Actually, that's all technique. It's not actually, the blade is not sharp on that, on sabering.
Well, yeah, you want to give waiters waiters sharp objects? That's not a good idea.
Yeah, well.
It's bad enough what chefs do to themselves.
So, you know, I actually always enjoyed the Raiden characters that always pop down.
I haven't seen this movie in, I don't know, 15 years, right? So I was kind of looking forward to seeing this again. And I love John Carpenter. You know what I mean? I even dug The Fog out of all things. That was kind of an interesting movie.
Yeah. And
Carpenter is really good at creating in incredibly crazy characters. Obviously, he's responsible for Halloween. What was it? The Thing, which I think was a remake, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. His was a remake because the original one was made 1950-ish.
Right. He did the original Assault on Precinct 13, though, right?
Yes, and he also did some of the vampires too.
Escape from New York and L.A. Yeah. I mean, great characters memorable characters is what John Carpenter does. This one was a little more incoherent than the rest.
See, this is why I think the '80s was like his time, because as soon as you get into the mid-90s and 2000s, people are expecting, a little bit more serious. Besides some of the Halloween movies, a lot of his stuff to me was goofy and entertaining and, fun action movies.
Yeah. I'm actually looking. I think he was one of the writers of this film, too, wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah, he writes most of his stuff.
No, he's not credited for being a writer on this one.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I thought he was.
It's Gary Goldman, David Z. Weinstein, and W.D. Richter.
Well, Gary Goldman makes sense. I don't know much about Weinstein for his writing. I think I've seen a few of his things, but Gary Goldman definitely.
Yeah, Total Recall. Both Total Recalls, actually. Oh, Next? Really?
This is the only one that David Z. Weinstein is credited for being a writer.
Anyways. Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not. But anyway. But, I always found this one to be fun, but really you don't have to put much thought into this one at all.
Oh, no.
That's the kind of weird thing about this. I couldn't decide whether I was watching a movie for children or not. You know what I mean? Like, it half the time it felt like I was watching some weird Disney movie, and then all of a sudden he drops an F-bomb and then people are getting murdered. I think there, like, the body count was almost in the 50s.
To be honest, I'm almost pretty sure I saw this when it came out.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. So John was like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Well, technically five,
yeah, it's a weird, weird PG-13 movie. You know what I mean? And like I said, in the beginning, I would have swore this movie was PG and I could have like a 10-year-old kid with me.
I was about to ask. So it's PG-13. Holy shit. It must have been for language only.
He drops one F-bomb, but a bunch of people get killed in like the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And a lot of arms get broken and a lot of rubber heads get punched.
Yeah.
What was also weird?
And then you had the weird Mumra type of character.
Man, they had all kinds of weird different types of characters. In the settings, though, that was the bizarre part. This is like the first movie where the what do you call it? The special effects were kind of cutting edge for the time.
Yeah.
This 86.
Yeah.
And they're doing stuff, you know, like on par with the, you know, what's it called? Ghostbusters, which was like right at the exact same time.
Yeah.
You know, same kind of kind of cutting edge special effects for the time period. And the practical effects sucked ass in this movie.
And didn't they share some of the same effects with like Total Recall, like at the end when that guy's head like explodes?
Oh, yeah. When he did like the thing where he like puffed up and.
And see, okay, and that was the thing is I'm wondering if the practical effects having really shitty editing and things like that were almost on purpose, because there are things like you see the guy like flexing so damn much that you almost feel like he's gonna explode,
and then he does.
This, like, that's bizarre.
This has to be the only reason I say it's on purpose, because it's the 80s, and 80s, that was kind of 80s thing, you know, unless you get to that kung fu movie. That, you know, they have
Kung Pao,
yeah.
Kung Fu Hustle.
Yes, it. Kung Fu Hustle.
Okay, well, I throw them both in the same thing. Mm-hmm. Kung Pao was the crappy version. Kung Fu Hustle was the good one.
Yeah, Kung Fu Hustle was fantastic.
So, you know, it had to be
more like somebody watched a couple of Eastern-made Kung Fu movies and got a bunch of people who didn't know martial arts except for, like, two. And threw him in there
with Kurt Russell.
I love
who was basically doing his best impression of John Wayne.
Yeah, but
pretty much.
But the reason why I picked this
one. He was better in A Computer Wears Tennis Shoes than he was in this movie, but it's still entertaining.
The reason why I picked this one is because you get the best of both worlds. You got all the crappy Asian films that are coming out of the 70s.
Yeah.
And then you take all American action films that are coming into their own in the 80s, the 83 and up until what, 97?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
98. So you get both of those, and it's like somebody said, let's take these things and see what happens if we put them together.
Yeah, and the reactions from Kurt Russell were freaking fantastic throughout. I mean, that comedy kind of held up.
Yeah.
I would say, though,
it still is a fun movie.
Oh, yeah. But Kurt Russell's character kind of reminded me of Roddy Piper's character in They Live a little bit, but just a tad bit more on the touched side.
Well, my favorite scene of Kurt Russell is when he's in the airport and he sees her and he comes over and like starts hitting on her. And she just totally just blows him off.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that is actually pretty close to what would be happening if one of these action heroes decided to pick up a chick in real life without all the fame.
Oh, totally.
That's something like that.
That's why Schwarzenegger went for the maid. I mean,
yeah. Well, I never actually saw a picture of the maid. Was she any cute?
No.
Okay. Well, neither was his wife.
And I love his Skeletor. One of my favorite things about this movie is the sets, because where they look, you know, like they went in, like, you know, Chinatown, but it was also like 80s, so they had
the end. I mean, they might as well have been fighting in a Chinese discotheque.
It actually kind of reminded me of Castle Grayskull from the live action.
Up out of something out of freaking He-Man. And all of the sets were made out of like plaster of Paris and breakable stuff that, you know.
Yeah, it was totally.
I've never seen a faker looking knife than the one he had between his teeth all the time.
Oh no, that was totally a prop knife. That was, they didn't even bother using like tin foil on it or something.
I mean, they had dental impressions when they were done.
It was like an inch thick. Yeah.
Oh, talk about that! I love the scene where he was trying to get the knife from his boot, and he just kicked it forward and stabbed that metal statue thing. Which you weren't sure if it was a statue or a person, which I loved.
Well, it died like it was a person, so you're like, okay, well, that's a person, but
I thought it was a statue. And then he has trouble. Then he has trouble trying to knock it over. Then you realize, okay, maybe it's a statue. But if it's a statue, how did he stab it?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that you're not gonna want to try to explain.
Oh, no, my favorite was.
That's why I love the movie.
In the first big fight scene between the two Asian gangs.
The three?
Well, the three at the end. But they start out as two, but you see, like. And it's totally the old camera trick. So if people out there didn't really know what was going on, you have a dummy in, like, the last couple inches of the screen, and the guy punches it and that's knocks it off the screen. And that's what Ryan was saying.
A lot of rubber heads got punched.
A lot of rubber heads.
The face cave in. If you look hard enough, you can literally see the faces cave in before they go off screen. It's hilarious.
But it's completely old camera tricks that you're just like, that's just great.
Well, and for the budget, it's like they wasted all of it on the couple of moments of CGI and the lightning effects and just said, listen, prop guys, throw money together what you can. Here's 10 grand.
And they must have went through all
10 grand? Here's 10 bucks.
And they must have went through all the plaster of Paris in like a 1,000-mile radius just for the last set.
Seriously.
And I love the Mr. Miyagi guy. That's my favorite thing about movies like this. There's always some Mr. Miyagi.
The guy that looks like he has a stroke.
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but that's Victor Wong. He's from Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
He's been in a lot of actually Asian movies as cameos.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like one of my favorite sort of character Asian actors. Which there was a bunch in this movie. Guy's name I can't remember, who is a great voice actor. The guy that played the Lopan.
Yeah. James guy. Wong. James Hong. Sorry.
Yeah, he's an awesome people would know him from like Mulan. Kung Runner. Fu Panda. I mean, he's done a bunch of voiceover stuff.
Yeah,
he's a great character.
So according to this, he's Mulan, Blade Runner, Kung Fu Panda,
General Hospital.
Blade Runner. Wow.
He's been in a ton of stuff, and unfortunately, like the last role I actually saw him in a new movie was that R.I.P.D. movie.
Oh, with what's his name? The guy who did
He was the guy from I don't believe him the guy who played the dude and the guy who's also doing Deadpool. I can't remember his name.
Wow. Ryan Reynolds and that's sad that I can't remember.
Jeff Bridges.
Thank
Jeff
you. Bridges.
Yeah. Thank you, IMDb. Apparently, I'm the old guy at the moment. this movie really is full of funny. Just funny scenes, like the scene where I guess he's in ghost mode, the bad guy, when he's clawing through that girl.
Yeah, that was another one of those that Ryan was saying they kind of, that was their budget right there, was the same things that they were doing that was in Ghostbusters.
And then some of the stuff was like old magician's tricks, you know. Obviously, the floating girl, you know, the angle that they were shooting on that was just a magician's trick, stage show kind of thing.
I love the fact they also don't really explain stuff besides, ooh, it's ancient Chinese black magic.
It's mysticism. Yeah,
like why?
The plot holes in this thing are a bunch, many, too many to name. That's why you don't mind it getting bogged down in explanation. Really, if you're looking for a chick with green eyes and you're around for 2,000 years, you never thought to visit Ireland?
Logic.
By the way, I love the fact it gets the Chinese girl and the annoying lawyer.
Because apparently it doesn't matter if she was Chinese this whole time. I'm sitting there like, oh, okay, well, you got to find a Chinese chick with green eyes. It's got to be difficult.
Yeah.
And then, no, you don't. It just has to have green eyes.
So it's just the fact that he didn't really think things through.
Yeah, he really didn't do his due diligence on that.
No, he's like, oh, I'm screwed.
And I like the fact that he wants to be, you know, like mortal again. When this whole time he's been like an immortal geezer.
Yeah.
Yeah. A really sarcastic immortal geezer. I love that.
But the fun thing is that you didn't turn it off.
No.
Right? Think about that.
And this movie,
all the times you've seen this film, you didn't turn it off.
And this movie's bad enough that it's like constantly been on Netflix. Watch it now.
Oh, no, it's been on Netflix, watch it now, but it was also on, like, the Saturday movies forever.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, this was perpetually on cable and things
but
like
it wasn't,
that.
But it wasn't on the good channel. It was on, like, on the channel that you would turn to if you had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And boom, it was on.
You're like, oh.
But,
cool.
I mean, but just when you think it can't get more ridiculous, it does. You know, and so that's kind of where the fun keeps coming from is you're like, just when you're about to turn it off because it's too ridiculous, it like doubles down.
On some of the things you think they're contacting trauma, like that floating eyeball thing. I swear to God, I've seen that like a trauma movie.
I love the fact that all of a sudden after a while, they just kind of looking at it like, oh, why haven't I stabbed this thing yet? Here, die.
Well, you never know if you don't try.
But my favorite scene is when those guys first come down, the Raiden-esque characters, and they come down, and then they pull out the knives, and then they hold it up with the other hand and use the force to bring it down to their other hand.
Yeah.
And then do flips and then throw the knives.
Yeah. Yeah.
My three guys decided not to move during this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah, as soon as you brandish weapons, I'm taking cover.
And they had that one guy had those, you know, like those grabby oh, hands, yeah, when yeah, you were a kid. They had like two of metal grabby hands.
The back
hands.
Scratchers?
Yeah. I almost expected him to have the little triggers on the bottoms of it. And keep.
But then the rings that he has, that he goes, what? And then they spin faster and faster and faster. You're like, what the hell are you going to do with that?
Yeah, really. Not bend your hand. That's what you don't want to do.
Keep hands straight.
But what my favorite scene was straight up was the last Raiden character, well, the one that it was going with the lightning with the chainmail thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the end when they're going through the sewer, and he's just kind of showing off while everybody's escaping, and then right at the last second decides to take his shot and then misses and just, you know, does like the show off thing, walk slow, take one crappy shot, It's a trope that happens in a lot of movies that seem to be like really, really, they just went for the gold on that one.
And you know, that's one of my favorite things. And we were discussing one of my favorite characters the last week of the Mexican guy. I can't remember his name again. And my phone's dying, so we can't look it up. But the bad guy that was in The Bad, who is the character from The Bad, the good, the bad, the ugly, the bad character.
Eli Wallach?
Yes, thank you. At one point, he's like sitting there, and in one of them, I don't remember exactly which one, but he's sitting there and they're talking, and all of a sudden he shoots the guy, and he goes, "If you're gonna shoot, shoot. Don't talk. Just shoot."
Yeah, right.
That's one of my most memorable lines from him.
And I love the world's most anticlimactic ending towards like building up the main character be some badass evil guy, and the one guy who's like the biggest loser, Russell Crowe. Who I'm not Russell Crowe. Excuse me, Kurt Russell.
Sorry, Russell Crowe. Yeah.
My bad. I love you.
I guess you were on the fat show.
You know, Kurt Russell, you know, and the guy throws them the knife and he does the reflex. I loved that because no movie's going to kill like the guy they've been pumping up the whole time just so easily dies by getting stabbed in the head.
And how great was that makeup job on that death? I was like, okay, we're going to use rubber glue. And then we're going to paint it red, okay? And we're going to stick this to your head with the rubber glue, okay?
Yeah.
Just hold still.
And he's been ghost white the whole time, so they got that going on.
I mean, and really, if I was that guy, I'd be like, listen, my makeup and costume takes 8.5 hours to put on. We can't spend another 20 minutes on this knife.
Yeah. How about get that shiny spray paint from the crackhead around the corner and, you know, spray paint it a little so it looks like metal?
I mean, at least they had some humor in that scene and they did the Domino's statue effect.
Oh, yeah.
So all the statues just fall.
By the way, what happened to that giant, like, block-wide green explosion that they said in the beginning? I was looking for it. It's like, every time I see it, like, I haven't seen it. It's like, where is it?
You're missing it. I know.
And they also don't. I love the fact they also don't go back to the beginning where that Asian guy is talking to a lawyer.
Oh,
they just completely bypass that.
Yeah. Well, apparently, from what I was reading, that was a throw-in from John Carpenter because I guess he had a lot of trouble with the suits from the studio. So it was kind of like an homage to the bullshit that he was going through during production.
Oh, so he was stuck in development hell for a long time.
So they did that at the end.
And, you know, probably getting notes, you know, something along the effect of what the fuck kind of movie are you making?
Yeah. How can we back this?
You're spending my money on what?
That's hilarious.
I
so
got a bill for $800,000 for plaster. What's going on here?
And and don't forget about the, you know, like the $250,000 bill for neon tubing for like the
end. God, really?
Ryan, yeah, you got the internet right in front of you. Can you look up and see how much money this has grossed?
$11 million, and they estimate the budget at $25 million.
Wait. They're still in debt for $14 million?
Yeah, well, some of that can be linked on terrible marketing, but not all of it. You know, I would have been surprised even with good marketing if they broke even. But then again, marketing costs money. you know, so then your budget technically goes up. You know,
they must have been banking on the Asian, on Asians.
This movie probably had most of its life on DVD, and because people found it on cable for so many years, it's a movie that I'm flat out going to give a 2, but I'm probably going to rewatch at some point.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Shawshank Redemption. It never made a dime in the theaters, but it's you know, it's a cult classic, and it's considered one of the greatest movies of, you know, insert time there because of cable.
All right. So what? You know, Ryan gives it a 2. So, you know, actually, I'm going to give it a 0.5 extra, so 2.5, just because of the fact that, you know, surprisingly for me, after all these years of watching this film over and over and over again, I never turned it off. That's the thing that it, like, amazes me, and that's what I'll point out to you guys out there, is for some reason I just went, just didn't go, eh.
I'm
gonna, I don't know why.
I'm going to give it a 0.5 higher. I'm going to go 3 out of 5.
Wow. I'm not really surprised.
And the other thing of thinking about it is, like, I've got to find somebody who's seen this stoned, because this movie's got to be hysterical if you're lit off your ass. Because this movie totally seems to me that it's got to be like a stoner favorite.
But, you know, I saw it on Netflix, and I did have it in my list as one that I was gonna point out for this show. I don't know why. Just because there's enjoyability in it for some strange reason.
And so we're going to switch to the TV show we did, and we did the Netflix original
Narcos.
So I'm missing it. So... Gonna switch over to James.
You know, I gotta say, you know, I actually know quite a bit about all these characters that they're talking about. I know a lot about the history of what's going on.
He has and, a History Channel.
No, I just actually don't have the History Channel, but I do know quite a bit of this. Part of this is because I lived during this time. You know, as a young kid, I wasn't alive when Escobar came out and started his stuff, but, you know, I actually was quite live during a lot of the major things that were going on with Pablo Escobar, but this is spot on history, and that's the thing that I find amazing. I'm in the middle of watching this show, and I'm just like, oh my God, that is just so crazy. Wait,
yeah,
this actually happened. That's even crazier.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, no, the whole thing is nutty. I'm going to go out and say that everybody in this show is going to be an effing star.
Actually, one of them already is. He is not in the first episode.
Wagner Moura, the guy that plays Pablo Escobar.
Yes.
This dude is going to win friggin' awards, dude. Yeah. His performance in that episode, I was freaking unreal, dude. I was having such a damn good time watching this.
Yeah, I'm all the way in episode 8.
Oh yeah, I just had time to watch it last night before I was like passing out, but I was staying awake because it was so bloody good. And I know quite a bit about Pablo Escobar also. You know, I've read quite a bit about him over the years and how the smuggling went down. And so this first episode, the way they just laid it out, like, this is what happened.
Yeah,
I was like, wow. I mean, they're just gonna tell the story, man.
Yeah,
got really excited, and I think the best thing I can say about this is I'm literally gonna get done with you guys and go start watching the rest of this.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal, he is also he's the Viper Broads guy from Game of Thrones, and he's a really great actor, and it's amazing to see him in this. He plays Javier Pena. He's the guy that becomes his
right hand man.
No,
right.
Not Escobar's right hand man. He becomes the CIA guy's liaison for Colombia. So he becomes the guy's partner. And it, you know, oh man, this show is really great. If you don't have time that you've watched it yet, IMDb has a 9.2 user rating, and that is pretty much on par with where it should be as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, this is going to be. I threw it out there with. Mr. Robot, like just the only thing I can say is keep watching this one.
I unfortunately,
if you haven't seen this one, this is definitely something that you're gonna binge watch for sure.
I unfortunately didn't get a chance to watch it. Time just wouldn't allow me. How is it as pretty as Mr. Robot?
You know, they do a different type of cinematography But I would say the budget on what they're spending for cameras and the scenes and everything are really, really well done for what they are.
Yeah, the setting is much more broad.
And the coloring is different because they're not in a city environment. They're right, moved into more of a jungle tropical environment. So
you know what I mean by pretty, though. Yeah. I mean, it looks good.
It's shot very cinematically. Obviously, they're telling the story very cinematically. I mean, you know, the world, as far as I'm concerned, has become, you know, these kind of miniseries sort of things. And, you know, I even throw stuff like Breaking Bad in when I say miniseries, because it's something that has a set ending. You know what I mean? Like, we're telling a story from A to Z, and we're not going to get to Z and start over at A again, or go Z plus one, Z plus two.
Yeah, this is a finality, which is what an interesting thing.
So we're going to make sure that, you know, if you watch this movie, this TV show, let us know what you think. You love it, you hate it. We'd love to know, along with Mr. Robot, which you did last week. And we also want to remind you, we do have a Facebook page. You'll love us, hate us. How about donating, you know, Pause for the Cause for Old Guy Tech TV? And if you write us, we'll read you on air. Especially if hate mail. Maybe. It's
down there somewhere.
And next, we're doing movie news. And see, James?
Yeah. So we did this film a couple months ago, about 2-3 months ago. What did we do, Roadhouse? We did Roadhouse.
A little bit.
3 months ago or so. John.
Yes?
You're the biggest fan of this one. You're a big Patrick Swayze fan. He loves Dirty Dancing. Just ask him.
Like two of his movies. Leave me alone.
So, Roadhouse, Dirty Dancing and Roadhouse, it's okay.
No.
Ghost?
No, it's Black, was it Ghost? It's was Black Ghost? Dog and... He was in Ghost. Okay. Actually, so Ghost. Three. Ghost was See? Pretty funny.
I told you.
Because he was tormenting Whoopi Goldberg.
Shh. Everybody torments Whoopi Goldberg. So
racist.
MGM has decided to pitch a remake of Roadhouse. And I bet neither of you will be able to guess who is going to be taking over for Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze's brother, who looks exactly like him.
John?
She
is big news right now.
Oh, no. Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
Holy
Ronda
shit.
Rousey is going to be taking over for Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
So she
didn't she play a bouncer in the Expendables as like a cameo?
Yeah, no, yep.
She had a cameo in it. Yeah,
yeah. I think her character was a bouncer. I suffered through that movie a week and a half ago.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
So
it's terrible. Don't even do it.
So she's gonna play the cooler. Like, does it say like exactly how they're gonna do it?
No, this was actually just released by It says Vulture, but I believe it was actually Variety that did the actual interview with her. This was released today that she is in talks of doing the new Roadhouse.
I'll be completely honest. I actually like that movie, but it is not a good movie. Why are you redoing it?
Ronda Rousey.
It's a good movie as much as it's very iconic.
Yeah, I actually find it entertaining, but it's not a movie that you would think they'd want to redo. They made a second movie. They made a second one of this with Jake Busey. So that's how bad this got.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big Ronda Rousey fan.
I'm a big Ronda Rousey fan too. But
I've seen all 4 minutes
fighting.
I've seen all minute and a half of her fights.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've all had that 8 minutes to kill watching her entire career.
And, you know, Gina Carano came out and she did, Haywire?
Yeah, Haywire.
And that movie sucked.
I've actually never seen it.
It was actually really horrible.
The fight scenes, though, were...
The fight scenes were great.
Really good.
But
there's a rumor that that she was trying to become Ms. Marvel or something like that.
Yeah. And I also heard that she was also in the works for She-Hulk. You know,
that would be a good role. Hell, I think she'd be
a good role for Chris Cyborg.
Yeah, but She-Hulk was always cute, and Cyborg is not. Gina Carano is actually cute.
Yeah, Gina Carano is pretty cute. And
they used to call her
Ronda
the face
Rousey,
MMA.
I mean, she's talked about shit. I'll watch that chick do anything, especially if I get to see her rip somebody's throat out. I'll die happy.
Yeah.
That'll be for me.
But, you know, I don't want to see Ronda Rousey do the same thing with her career where she gets into crappy movies.
Well, look, I mean, she's obviously not going to fight forever. She's already said as much as she doesn't want to fight into her 30s. I think she's 28 now. She's got like maybe two or three more title defenses in her, and she's probably going to be done fighting. So she's already trying to make a change in her career, you know, either into commentating or into coaching or something like that. But the movies, I mean, there's a way to make some money. I mean, obviously, 30 years old isn't very old.
No.
And so when you're done fighting for a living, when you're done punching people in the face, you know, you have limited options.
Yeah.
And you have to have money that's going to last you for a while. So I really can't blame her.
And at least
for making the jump. But I mean, I think she's got the work ethic to work at it and be able to, you know, get into a character.
And at least she's not going into wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely not being a D&D. Obviously, the reason that she doesn't want to fight is because she doesn't want to just wreck her body for the rest of her life.
Yeah. So. I just don't think Roadhouse personally would be the great vehicle for her.
It wouldn't be my first choice.
Like, you'd think, like,
I mean, for somebody like Ronda Rousey, who's obviously just going to do, you know, action movies, why not something like Roadhouse, which is really just this, the story about the coolest cooler of all time.
Because it's
a really high concept kind of a situation that's going to be easy to pull off.
But how many rednecks do you want to see her beat up?
Do any kind of really dramatic acting?
It's one step away from a WWE Studios production.
Okay, but my point notwithstanding, I mean, what do you want her to do?
I actually think, and it would be good for her to be in one of the Marvel movies. I think that would be, do one of the Marvel movies as Ms. Marvel or She-Hulk, then
They don't want to jump into those gimmicks. I mean, you know,
they're not going to put money in her like that.
No, of course not. Not in something like that big of a franchise. They're going to do it with the Expendables because who gives a shit?
Yeah,
you know?
But
that's obviously Sylvester Stallone trying to make money. You know, just for him and his friends.
Yeah. If we look at that, what do you expect her to become? The new Mila Jovovich? I mean, what are you expecting?
Like seriously, do you expect her to do dramatic acting? You want her to jump into comedies? I mean, this is almost like the perfect vehicle for her, something like that. You know, it's a remake, so it's a story that people kind of know. You've already got the old audience that's going to come in. You got a new audience that's just going to be a fan of Ronda Rousey.
I got it. I got the next movie she'll do after this. Bloodsport.
And then
Kickboxer, and she'll follow that up by The Quest.
That'd be awesome. I'll watch all of those movies starring
and all the story. All
Sir Roger Moore come out of retirement. Still the best Bond. Shut up.
You know what? James and I have talked about that one for years. That's a longer conversation. It needs some explaining.
Yeah, this
so people don't start writing hate mail about Sean Connery for life.
Write me hate mail. Do it.
I wouldn't it. Call Sean Connery the greatest, but I also wouldn't call Roger Moore the best either. So.
Who is the other one? He likes the other one.
Other one?
Not the new one.
So with that said, next week is Ryan's pick.
Okay. So here's a confession.
You forgot?
For a movie that I've actually never seen. And I kind of apologize for two reasons. One, that this movie's escaped me, and I claim to be a movie fan. But two, it's one of the longest effing movies that I could have picked, and I'm sorry.
Open
yeah,
range?
I have never seen The Deer Hunter.
Are you...
Never seen it. Never seen The Deer Hunter. There it is. There it is.
Okay.
On the positive side, he didn't pick Dog Day Afternoon. I've never seen James silent.
I'm saving a lot for next week. Okay. A lot.
Yeah. It's, you know, we've talked a bunch about, you know, movies that just managed to escape us, you know, just for one reason or another.
And
which
next...
is a shame because of the dumbass movies that I've seen 100 times. I've seen True Lies.
John, you get to pick 187 after this?
No, I'm going to pick a Kevin Costner movie. I know. I'll pick The Return of the King, the extended edition. It's a 4.5-hour movie.
Well, this one's what? It's like what's two, this one? Maybe 3 hours?
Three and a half, I think.
Three and a half.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 183 minutes long.
Wow. Yeah. So, shit. And so what TV show are we doing? I'm sorry. I'm still kind of like, Deer Hunter. Like a deer in the headlights.
Look, I've never seen it. I'm sorry. I feel like it's time.
You couldn't have done it on your own time.
No.
All right.
Why the hell would I not make you suffer through this?
Sense 8, I think we were doing for next
Sense
week.
Sense 8. And that's where it is Netflix?
ABC, yes, that's ABC? Another Netflix okay. original.
Another Netflix original. Oh, dear God. Ladies and gentlemen, I gave Big Trouble in Little China 3 out of 5. James gave it a 2 out of 5. Ryan gave
it a 2.5.
Two out of 0.5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 2 out of 5. Next week, we're doing Deer Hunter and Sense 8. And as always, see you next week.
Goodbye.